From the world-famous city of New Orleans, it's the Black and Blue Report. Starring Sean Kelly, Producer Dan, D-Dub and the Black and Blue Orchestra.
Yeah.
And the Benchwarmers. Today's special guests include the New Orleans Saints, the New Orleans Pelicans, and whoever else we could get to stop by. Online and worldwide, it's the Black and Blue Report. Live, sort of, from Studio B, here's Sean Kelly.
How goes it? Monday edition of the Black and Blue Report, and we come to you today from Studio B at the world headquarters of the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans. I'm Sean Kelly, and welcome into the podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans. I got to tell you, I'm glad to be back in Studio B with you all today after a weekend of power washing, yard work, landscaping, you name it. So good to be out of the sunshine and the dirt to be with you here today to talk a little sports, specifically the NFL and the NBA today. What a weekend it was, though. Weather-wise, we all got away with a good one in New Orleans, didn't we? And the Zurich Classic wrapped up. And courtesy of the New Orleans Zurich Classic, we have another first-time winner on the PGA Tour as a wonderful weekend wrapped up at the TPC of Louisiana with Sung You'll Know winning his first PGA title this past weekend. Had a lot of great fun out there at the TPC, and hopefully you were able to catch some of the golf that put our city in the spotlight over the last 4 or 5 days. So we had Jazz Fest over the weekend too, and I'm sure everybody's probably a little worn out here on this Monday, much like yours truly. And we're back at it here, of course, on the podcast with NFL draft preview talk and NBA playoffs on our mind. Certainly a sad note earlier today as the NBA lost to one of its longtime greats, Dr. Jack Ramsey, a Hall of Fame coach and, of course, a broadcaster, passed away after nearly a decade and a half long battle with cancer in various forms. He will certainly be missed, and we wish all the best to, of course, Dr. Jack's family, his closest colleagues around the league, and the teams that he touched, notably the Blazers, of course, but not to mention the Pacers, too, the Miami Heat, and others. So sad day today with regard to that, and we mark that moment in time here this morning. And we'll also celebrate the NBA with three more games in the playoffs tonight. How about that? Miami can eliminate Charlotte tonight in game four of that series. Atlanta at Indiana with the series tied at 2-2. And so a driver's seat game on tap there in game five of that series. And then a dandy in the West, San Antonio at Dallas. And look at the Mavericks. They lead that series 2-1. And they're home tonight. And certainly a win for Dallas tonight would put them in the catbird seat with regard to their first-round matchup against the number one-seeded San Antonio Spurs. So we've got those things on our plate today. And with regard to that San Antonio-Dallas game tonight, we're going to talk to the radio voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Chuck Cooperstein, get his thoughts on what's going on in that series and the NBA playoffs in general. And then with regard to the NFL draft, which, gosh, is coming up, it's a week from Thursday, we'll get up to our 21st pick in the first round. And our NFL draft series continues with Vic Ketchman from Packers.com. We'll get his thoughts not only on the Packers, but how the first round may shake out. You may be surprised at some of the things that he has to say as we continue that series here this morning. Daniel Salerson's our producer. He's here with me in Studio B, and we're set to go with our two guests today on the Black and Blue Report. And we'll continue with a little NBA talk and Chuck Cooperstein after these messages.
Don't want to miss out on any of the action? Get connected with your New Orleans Pelicans 24/7, 365. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for exclusive prizes and giveaways. Plus, get text messages with all the latest breaking news right on your phone with Pelicans Mobile Alerts. Visit Pelicans.com for information on these great features, plus sign up for Pelicans Insider with weekly updates from the Pelicans. Join the conversation today.
Here's a valuable lesson I've learned as an Entergy customer. Saving energy saves you money. And the online videos at EntergySavings.com show you how. A few simple projects can make a big difference in your bill. In just a few hours, I knocked my monthly bill down by 20%. It was easy. From caulking windows to programming your thermostat, the Entergy videos walk you through it. Visit EntergySavings.com and start saving today. That's the power of people. Entergy.
This is Pelicans guard Brian Roberts, and you're listening to the Black and Blue Report.
Well, the NBA playoffs continue tonight, and boy, there's a dandy over at the American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas. 8:30 Central Time tonight. It is Game 4 between the Mavericks and the Spurs, and we're delighted here this morning to have the radio voice of the Dallas Mavericks, Chuck Cooperstein, join us on the Black and Blue Report. Well, 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 Chuck, how about this? 2-1 Mavericks going into Game 4.
Yeah, and given how the Mavericks struggled against Antonio going into the series, having lost 9 in a row to them, had lost 7 straight in San Antonio, basically have been bludgeoned by them, to find themselves in this position is a little bit surprising. Although, you know, you watch how Game 1 played out, and obviously the Mavericks had a chance to win that game up by 10 with 7:45 to go. And then, you know, you see what's happened since then, and it's like, well, maybe it isn't that much of a surprise that the series is where it is right now, because the Mavericks have really upped their game. And only, I think, in Game 3 has San Antonio finally gotten to the level that we expect them to play at, which now sets the stage for, you know, however many games are left in the series, which should all be just as crazy as what we saw Saturday afternoon.
I know you're going to be a little subjective about this, but let me just throw this out there to start. If San Antonio gets up to Dallas and wins tonight, evens that series at 2-2, am I being alarmist and thinking that the Mavericks are in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, in deep trouble, no. But you'd have to be concerned, because you know, you're going to have to go back to San Antonio and try to win again. Having said that, I mean, the Mavericks are 20-10 on the road since December 23rd. They've been one of the best road teams in the league since then. So I don't think that they will be petrified at the prospect of having to go to San Antonio. The bigger concern would be just that San Antonio has found itself and they have raised their level of play. And when they have done that, when they have played at a particular level, it has been really hard for the Mavericks to answer that. That would be the thing that would concern me most, rather than simply the fact that San Antonio would have two of the possible three games at home.
On the flip side, if Dallas wins tonight, they're clearly in great position to win the series. And Dirk Nowitzki has been the focal point of the Spurs defense. Can Dallas go ahead and keep winning in this series if Nowitzki is held under 20 points and has to defer, like he's done so well, to his teammates?
Well, it's hard to imagine, but you know, as opposed to the Spurs role players, who really, other than Leonard and Splitter in Game 3, have been pretty much invisible. You know, if you look at what Devin Harris has done, and you look, you know, Sean Marion, yeah, he's a starter, but you don't expect him to score 20, and he did score 20 in Game 2. And, you know, Harris in the first two games, and Carter obviously hitting the shot of shots. Brandon Wright had a 10-point game in Game 1 and has played really well off the bench. You know, both of these teams are designed to go 9-10 deep. And you'd have to say that so far in the series, the Mavericks ancillary players have played better than the Spurs ancillary players. And that's what Popovich was talking about yesterday. You know, I need more out of Danny Green. I need more out of Bellinelli. I need more out of Diaw. You know, they're really not getting very much from those guys right now. And it's really affecting, I think, the Spurs rotations, the substitution pattern. You know, Tony Parker has been rendered meaningless in the second half of games in the first three, which you would not expect after the way he has started all three of these games. So, you know, there's a lot going on here, but there's ultimately not a lot that is really separating these teams. The one thing that could change it, though, Sean, is if Dirk does get going. You know, and it looked like Dirk might get going in Game 3. He hit his first two shots. They got it to him early. He got rid of it fast. And, you know, he shot the ball well ultimately, but he only took 13 shots. You know, he's not taking more than 14 shots. Oh, he took 19 in Game 2, but he was 7 for his last 13. So, you know, can they find him shots? And good shots is really the key moving forward here. Otherwise, they're going to have to rely on Ellis and Calderon and Harris to take advantage of the high screen and roll and the unwillingness, if you will, of the big to either drop off to that guy or the other big to come on up and prevent that shot from taking place. know, if the Mavericks continue to make that shot, they have a heck of a chance to win the series.
You and I have talked about this before, Coop. Chuck Cooperstein with us, by the way, on the Black and Blue Report. Coop, you and I have talked, several times about veteran leadership and what that means to NBA teams. And while there are some teams out there that are being carried by veterans and are impacting series, are there any other series that are more highly impacted right now than Spurs, Mavericks, with regard to veteran leadership?
Hard to see it. I mean, when you look at Dirk's been in the league 16 years, Sean Marion's been in the league 15 years, Devin Harris been in the league 10 years, Jose Calderon, Monta Ellis, 9 years. On the other side, Duncan, 17 years, Parker, 13 years, Ginobili, 12 years. And it's interesting because then you look at a guy like Danny Green, who has blown really hot and cold. It was great in the finals last year, had that incredible run from game 3 and game 5. But you don't know what you're going to get out of him. At this time of the year, it is about veterans, and it is about those who have hardened skin because they've gone through it. That really tells the tale. And ultimately, one of these hardened teams is going to lose. I just don't know who it is yet.
When you look at veterans and who have been through so many different scenarios, is it hard to fathom whether it's Carter's shot the other night or the fact that the Spurs find themselves in this 2-1 situation? I just don't see. You know, a lot of times you'll see a team panic or not be able to handle it. This is one of those series, Coop, that you may need, 10 games to really decide it, because I don't think you put one team or the other at a certain disadvantage in this situation.
And that's a great point. Just that each game really is its own self-contained entity. We all look for threads that go through the first few games of the series, but ultimately, every game is played differently, and every game is executed differently, and that ultimately determines who wins and who loses. This series, in a lot of ways, is reminding me of the Mavericks-Spurs series in 2006. At least through three games. So the first game, the Mavericks lost by 2 in San Antonio. Stackhouse had a chance to win it in the corner, and he didn't. It was a low-scoring, hard-playing, defensive-oriented game. The Mavericks came out in Game 2, destroyed San Antonio. That's when they put Devin Harris in the starting lineup, and they really never looked back from that, going all the way to the finals. Ultimately, Game 3 was a crazy game where Jason Terry hit a bunch of shots late. The execution by both teams' offenses was off the charts. And, I think we're at the point now, Sean, where the series has been established. And now, the intensity, if it's possible to be ratcheted up even higher, does do that right now. And as a result, you just see things that you just can't imagine seeing, but you know you're going to.
Let's get your thoughts on the playoffs in general. I think one of the hardest things for NBA fans is that the first round across the board takes a long time to play out. But yet it seems like we've all been rewarded here, Coop, by fantastic series across the board. There are so many great storylines and series that are highly competitive that it does make it okay to drag this thing out as long as it's going.
Yeah, especially in the West. We talked all year about how much better the West was than the East, and that it would be a shame that a team ultimately like Phoenix didn't qualify for the playoffs despite winning 48 games. And it's really been borne out here in the first round. I mean, even the Rockets Portland series, that's 3-1, three overtime games. All of them have been just spectacular. All of them actually have had pretty much the same script, kind of a tortoise and hare thing, with the Rockets racing out to double digit leads and ultimately having double digit leads in the fourth quarter that they can't hold. Either because of their own sloppiness in handling the ball or the fact that they don't make free throws. And then you have LaMarcus Aldridge playing at a ridiculously high level and some just incredible shot-making that's been going on, and some pretty impressive defense as well, whether it's Aldridge's block on Howard last night at the rim or Wesley Matthews doing what he did against Harden. I mean, it's really been phenomenal to watch. Although I have to say, Sean, I'm not really so surprised at what's going on in that series, because if you consider LaMarcus Aldridge and the position he plays, who's coaching him, Terry Stotts, and consider that the Mavericks own Houston, okay, and Dirk in in particular owns Houston. Dirk had 7 games of 30 or more this year. 3 of them came against Houston. That power forward position, that stretch four, is something that the Rockets have had a really, really difficult time dealing with. And the only difference between Aldridge and Dirk, offensively anyway, is that Dirk shoots threes and Aldridge doesn't. But it's a phenomenal series. And, you know, the Clippers and the Warriors, even with all the off-the-court nonsense aside, just, you know, watching Stephen Curry explode at the beginning of the game like he did yesterday in Game 4 was absolutely amazing. The end of Game 1, all the stuff that was going on there, just incredible to watch. The end of Game 3, really, are you kidding me? And you know, the other series as well. I mean, Oklahoma City and Memphis playing 3 overtime games. And so it's just really, you know, high-quality stuff that's going on here in the West. And, you know, the East has had their moments, too. But, you know, we know Miami's going to take out Charlotte. We knew that going in. And Washington's somewhat of a surprise, even though we knew they were playing well at the end of the year. But Chicago's really struggling to score, and that's hurting them. And, you know, Toronto and Brooklyn's it's a boring series just from style of play, but you knew it was going to be close, and it's pretty much played out that way. So there you go. I mean, it has certainly delivered the goods for everybody.
Yeah, and if you look at the East and say, okay, Miami's clearly the team that can come out of that whole thing, but if you just focus in on the West, Coop, after the bludgeoning that's been going on here in round one in the West, is there any team in particular, Chuck, that can come out of round one and see the rest of the way is easier than what they had to face in the first 2 weeks of the postseason?
I don't think legitimately you can, although, you know, I guess, you know, San Antonio, if they had to play Houston, would want nothing to do with Houston because they hadn't beaten Houston all year. You know, the Mavericks won twice against both Houston and Portland, although one of those games with Portland was the game the Mavericks had a 30-point lead, lost the lead, and then had to rally to win, which is just insane. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to get harder just because you're exerting so much energy just to get through this first round that, you know, you hope you have something left the rest of the way. And that may be a team like Miami's biggest advantage going forward because, you know, assuming they win here against Charlotte and they win tonight, they sweep, they're going to get a week off. And then, you know, whether they're playing Toronto or Brooklyn in the second round, you know, the fact is that Toronto and Brooklyn are going at least 6. They're probably going to go 7. And they're going to kill each other because that series has been a really physical series. Miami has not had to worry about that so far. So, you know, it's setting up for them, you know, pretty well regardless. And then, you know, whoever they might play in the conference finals, I mean, those teams are all flawed. I mean, they're all really flawed. Although, you know, Washington's playing really well right now. But can you really trust them if they even got to that point? Which I don't know if they can.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Have a great call tonight. We're going to be watching. I'm going to enjoy every bit of it, and I probably won't have the same blood pressure as you down the stretch of the game just because of you're working and I'm not.
Hey, I'm calm. I'm one calm dude right now.
What is making you so calm when you have those finishes like that?
I did say that facetiously with my fingers crossed.
Good man, good man. Coop, always great to talk to you, whether it be NFL or NBA. And, again, have a great call tonight. And we'll be touching base with you, I'm sure, in the next couple weeks as the Mavericks, I don't want to say surprise anybody, but certainly show how strong not only the West is, but the Southwest Division is as well.
Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks a lot.
You bet. Chuck Cooperstein, radio voice of the Dallas Mavericks, with us here on the Black and Blue Report on this Monday. We'll continue right after this.
Okay, you've just been told you have a serious heart issue. Congestive heart failure, a valve problem, a complex rhythm disorder. Now what? At Ochsner, we suggest you take a moment and do some research. When you do, you'll find Ochsner Medical Center has the only heart program in the region ranked among the nation's best by U.S. News & World Report. We routinely treat the most complex cases with revolutionary procedures such as surgical and non-surgical valve replacements and the total artificial heart. And we have the largest, most comprehensive program for treating arrhythmias in the Gulf South, offering options not available elsewhere in the region. At the end of the day, the most important thing to hear is,
I just saw your test results, and they look great. No problems.
leading-edge care. Just one more reason to choose an Ochsner-affiliated physician. For an appointment, visit Ochsner.org or call 1-866-OCHSNER. That's O-C-H-S-N-E-R. Ochsner. Healthcare with peace of mind.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report. Here's Sean Kelly.
Welcome back to the program. Time to continue our NFL draft preview series. And with that, we head up to Wisconsin this morning and check in with the Green Bay Packers, who will pick 21st overall in the first round. And to help us out with that, of course, is Vic Ketchman from Packers.com. Vic, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Greetings from New Orleans, where it's about double the temperature what you have there in Green Bay today.
Yeah, sometime around Memorial Day we'll start. It'll start look like summer, but not right now.
Summer will at least start to feel that way if we can get past the draft, which has now pushed its way into May. Tell me a little bit about the Packers offseason. What have they been able to do with free agency that's of note?
Well, they did more in free agency than they traditionally do. They signed Julius Peppers, which was, I think it caught everyone by surprise. Basically, they signed him to a pretty pricey one-year deal. If it turns out that he has left his game in the past, you know, if he's too old to be the player that he has been, they can get out of the deal next year. But I think they believe that he can perform something, a function for them, that has been lacking in Dom Capers' kind of 3-4 zone blitz scheme. They haven't had the playmakers at the linebacker positions other than Clay Matthews, and I think they have a pretty sexy plan for how to use Julius Peppers. They also re-signed Sam Shields, who had blossomed as their shutdown corner last year, so retaining him really was a big deal for them because it eliminated cornerback as a pressing need, which it would have become had they lost Shields in free agency. They signed LaTroy Guyon from Minnesota and re-signed B.J. Raji, two nose tackles. So that kind of addresses that issue. And they're left with some distinct needs at positions, but by and large, those are on defense. They are returning a very formidable offense, of course, led by Aaron Rodgers.
Let's stay with the defense for a moment. 24th last year in opponents' passing yards, 25th on the run. Did they address enough in free agency on the defensive side of the football, or is that where things lie with regard to the draft coming up in May?
Well, I think they still have to they have to focus their attention on defense in the draft. Now, re-signing Sam Shields should allow them to move Micah Hyde, who played corner as a rookie last year and was very good. But he might be a better safety. It would allow them to, I believe, move Micah Hyde to safety. That's the expectation. There is a belief that he can be a very good safety, and the Packers need help at safety. I think they'll also draft for that position, too, although the word is that it's not a good safety class this year. I think they have need at linebacker. I think they have pressing need at inside linebacker. I've heard names from ranging from C.J. Mosley, if he was to fall to number 21, to Ryan Shazier of Ohio State. I think that could be a position that they might hit in the first round. They have needed tight end at this point. They have not re-signed JerMichael Finley, who had that neck injury last season that could end up ending his career. We don't know yet. There's still, I guess, more recovery necessary, proof of recovery necessary there. I think they have needed wide receiver. They lost James Jones, but it's not a pressing need. It could be a down-the-line need, because they returned Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. And they have need for a center, but they also have flexibility on their offensive line to move one of their guards to center. So if if you were to ask me where are the pressing needs, I would say first and foremost, inside linebacker.
Vic, it sounds to me, though, from the way you speak, that the Packers will be in that school of thought of we have to draft for a specific need as opposed to best player available, which you may find teams lower down in the draft.
You know, Sean, there is no best available player or needs picking anymore. Everyone is doing the same thing.
Hmm.
They are targeting players, and they are fitting themselves to the pick instead of fitting the pick to where they are. There were 24 trades in the first 62 picks last year. Everybody is in the same boat because nobody wants to reach for a guy in the salary cap era because that means overpaying him and wasting cap room. So everybody has the same need. They need help to establish trade relations because they need to move to where their guy fits. There's just the whole best available player versus needs thing is antiquated. It's those days are gone. Everybody is doing the same thing. They are going to where the player they have targeted fits, and teams are willing to help each other get to those places now.
It's interesting. You're really the first, Vic, to kind of hit on that. And in a lot of ways, I agree with you. And it does speak to all the trade movement you spoke of. Do you expect maybe we'll see as much movement with regard to people changing picks or making moves this year's draft?
See more. The trading this year is going to get more and more every year. I mean, we got the Texans are looking to get out of the number one hole. Teams that are one player away, the Falcons, for example, think they might be one player away. They might be if Clowney is a home run kind of a guy, home run pick. They want to move up. A team like the Texans who are in rebuilding need multiple picks. They want to move down and get extra picks. We know these teams are targeting players because we know who's visiting them. I mean, why would you bring players in for a visit if you're just going to indiscriminately pick from the top of your board whoever the guy is? Teams are targeting players. They say, I like this guy. This guy is a really good player. He addresses a need. Okay, now where does he fit on our board and where do we have to go to make him to justify what we're going to pay him. I think we're making way too much out of this needs best available player thing anymore. Everybody is doing the same thing. They are trying to make value and need meet.
The Saints have been one of those teams that have been able to find great value in undrafted free agents or lesser-known players further down in the draft.
That's because you've got a great college scouting director, Rick Reed.
Yeah, it's worked out well. Where would you say the Packers fall in that ability to make that happen?
Oh, the Packers are great in undrafted free agency. I wish I had that. I'm going to pull a Jim Harbaugh on you and tell you, I don't have that list in front of me right now. But
well
they
done.
Have... they have done great late in the draft. They have done great in undrafted free agency. They just lost a guy, Evan Dietrich Smith, a center, to the Bucs. The Packers acquired him in undrafted free agency. And then 4 years later, he gets a big buck with the Bucs. The Packers thing is they take care of their salary cap. They are vigilant about it. And they are not going to overpay for a guy. They challenge themselves to replace players, and they use all forms for it available to them.
Vic Ketchman with us from Packers.com. Hey, Vic, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the schedule, which is now out, before I let you go. I'm looking at that road game at Seattle to open the regular season. What else about the Packers' schedule strikes you?
The first half of their schedule is an endurance test. If they can survive to get to the second half of their schedule, they can get hot. The four of the first five games in the second half of their season are at home. It's a favorable finishing schedule. It's the kind of finishing schedule that can launch a team into the playoffs.
Interesting. And, of course, we'll see you guys here on Sunday, October the 26th in New Orleans when the Packers come calling. That should be a dandy. It's right before the bye week for the Packers as well. Vic Ketchman from Packers.com with us here on the Black and Blue Report. Good stuff today, Vic. I appreciate your insight.
Thanks, Sean.
Good luck to the Packers. Well, sort of.
Okay.
Good luck to them other than the October 26th date, that's for sure. We'll be right back after these messages.
Lotto's all across Louisiana, with cash jackpots starting at $250,000. That's a whole lot of cash.
It's a whole lot of cash.
And right now, it's a lot more fun. Lotto Lanyap. Buy a $5 single draw lotto ticket. Get a raffle entry to win up to $50,000. Lotto Lanyap. A lot more cash and a lot more fun. Must be at least 21 to purchase.
There's no better time to join your Pelicans as we take flight. All-star Anthony Davis is taking his team to the next level, and the Pelicans are soaring to new heights. 2014-15 season tickets are on sale now and start at less than $300, with lower bowl options as low as $37 per game. Season ticket benefits include the best seat locations, discounts on concessions, and much more. Take flight with the Pelicans. For more info, call 525-HOOP or visit Pelicans.com today.
Pelicans.com and NewOrleansSaints.com, your first stop when following your teams.
Welcome back to the Black and Blue Report here from Studio B at the headquarters of the Saints and the Pelicans. Don't forget you can follow our show on Twitter at Black Blue Report. You can also follow me at Sean Kelly Live. As we continue this week's programs, we'll finish up our NFL Draft Preview Series as we turn the corner to next week in the NFL Draft, and we'll keep our eye on the NBA playoffs. Got some news here this morning, some great news at the facility. The news that Mr. Tom Benson, the owner of the Saints and the Pelicans, has made a $5 million donation to Team Gleason. That money is going to go toward the Team Gleason House for Innovative Living. It's going to try and cover most of the annual operating expenses in an endowment form, allowing 18 ALS patients to live closer to home, but yet be somewhat self-sufficient. And, of course, technology is a big player in this facility. And Mr. Benson's very generous donation today of $5 million to Team Gleason House for Innovative Living will go a long way in making sure that happens. In an off-season full of news, and most of it surrounding, of course, the draft and free agency, this might be my favorite story yet, and I hope this grows, and I hope that Steve Gleason's dream of having a facility like this in every NFL city gets jump-started here by Mr. Benson's donation. It's a fantastic story, not only in a feel-good sense, but certainly in the sense that ex-players and organizations can work together for the betterment of everybody in the league and their communities. So hats off to Mr. Benson today, and of course a continued hug and tip of the cap to Steve Gleason, his wife Michelle, and their ongoing efforts with the No White Flags scenario with regard to the Team Gleason Foundation. So that's big news, and that's what I wanted to end with today. It is the best note of the day, and again, what I think is one of the best notes here in this NFL offseason. So with that, we'll say thanks to Vic Ketchman from Packers.com, Chuck Cooperstein of the Dallas Mavericks for being a part of our show today, and of course, thanks to you for listening. We'll see you right back here tomorrow, sometime afternoon central for No Appointment Radio, the Black and Blue Report, a podcast for Saints and Pelicans fans, and from Studio B in New Orleans, I'm Sean Kelly. So long for just a while.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Black and Blue Report. If all goes well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tune in each weekday at 12 p.m. or at your convenience exclusively online at NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans.com. Follow your teams direct from the source, the Black and Blue Report.